Okay, the next sugya is making tea and coffee on Shabbos. Now, in order to understand where this sugya is going, we need just a little bit of background. Okay, for those of you who have ever learned a second Shabbos before, the entire third paragraph of Shabbos is dedicated to the halachos of Bishul. Okay, halachos Bishul is incredibly complicated, incredibly relevant, and shilos of Bishul come up all the time. Because it's one of the most common things that you do on Shabbos is cooking, right? So you need to know the halachos of Bishul. So we're not going to do that. We're not going to talk about the halachos of Bishul, even though we probably should. But we're going to talk about a certain dynamic, a certain component, a certain aspect of the halachos of Bishul, okay? And again, the way this is going to work is going to be similar to the last sugya. We're not going to start in the Gemara. The reason why this sugya, we're for sure not starting in the Gemara, is simply because there's too much stuff to do in the Gemara. There's too much of halachos of Bishul to go through, and it just wouldn't be fair to give you, like, a piece of Gemara. There's just too much to do in halachos of Bishul. So what we're going to try to do is just look at what the post can have to say about specific issues related to tea and coffee on Shabbos, and we'll hopefully bring out some of the Yesodos official through that. It's just an easier way to go about that instead of kind of going through the Gemara, because there's just a lot going on in Bishul, okay? So guys, just again, the way this, because the sources here happen to be particularly long, we're going to really do all this outside, because there's really a lot to say, okay? The first thing we're going to look at on page 31 is the Shulchan Aruch, okay? And again, Simen Shin Yuches, for those who need to know, is Hilchos Bishul. So, there's right away we have Machlokes, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, regarding the following question. I have a dish of food that was fully cooked before Shabbos, okay? Fully cooked. We're not talking about Machal Ben Jusai, we're not talking about no dip. Fully cooked. His mom is fully cooked. And then what happens? The food cooled down. One second. We haven't said anything yet. We haven't said a word yet. The food cooled down on Shabbos, okay? It cooled down. It was fully cooked on Thursday or Friday, and now the food cooled down. So am I allowed to reheat, to recook that food? It's not really recooking, it's cooked already. Can I reheat that food on Shabbos? So it's Machlokes. The Shulchan Aruch says that if the food has cooled down, again, it's not so clear what it means to cool down, how cool is cool. But if it cooled down to a certain degree, the Shulchan Aruch says to cook it again is called Bishul. But the Ramah argues, and the Ramah says it's only called Bishul if it actually improves the quality of the food. Right? If you stick something in a microwave to heat it up, you're not really improving the quality, you're making it edible, right? So if something was really fully cooked, it was edible, and then cooled down, so according to the Ramah, if you cooking it again is not going to actually improve the quality of the food, that's not called Bishul, right? It has to literally improve the quality of the food for that to be called Bishul. Now, what if the food was not fully cooked before Shabbos, right? What happens if the food wasn't fully cooked before Shabbos? So then, even if the food was cooked partially, even if it was cooked to Machlo Ben Jusai, right? Which again, Machlo Kis Megemara, right? What that means, a third and a half. And even if the food was partially cooked, and it was cooked enough, like Machlo Ben Jusai, which again, I assume you guys know what that term means, right? Machlo Ben Jusai, right? He was a bandit, right? One of the Ganavim, he had to cook his food quickly because he was always on the run. So in Gemara's mind, that has like a certain status in terms of Bishul. It's like the bare minimum. It's like the bare minimum to make food edible is Machlo Ben Jusai. That's the bare minimum. So he says, even if the food was cooked like that, but it wasn't fully cooked, then he says that you can still have, the food can still be subjected to Bishul, even if the food right now is boiling hot, right? Just because something is boiling hot doesn't mean it's fully cooked, right? It takes hours and hours and hours to cook meat, right? So if I want to cook a steak or make a steak, it takes me hours and hours and hours, it could be boiling hot and it's still not cooked, right? So just because something is boiling hot doesn't mean that I'm not going to end up violating Bishul. What Asher pointed out before is regarding the terms of, is there ein Bishul achar Bishul? This is a big machlokas in the Gemara, and in terms of the way we paskin, there's a distinction between what's called a davar lach and a davar yavish, right? Something which is moist, something which is dry. So when it comes to a davar lach, when it comes to something which is wet, something which is moist, then we paskin yesh Bishul achar Bishul, right? So if I, for example, if I want to heat up hot water, and the hot water cools down, I cook it again, I violate a Bishul d'oraisa, according to the way we seem to paskin. When it comes to a davar yavish, let's say I have a potato cooker, right? So potato cooker is a davar yavish, right? So I cooked it, and it cooled down, I cooked it again, that's okay. That's totally fine, because it's already been fully cooked, so that's going to be okay to do on Shabbos. Now, but there's a further qualification, even within davar yavish. Let's say you have a davar yavish that wasn't cooked before Shabbos, or at least wasn't fully cooked before Shabbos. So the halach is, there's a distinction, okay? You're not allowed to take that davar yavish. Let's say I have a potato gulo that wasn't fully cooked before Shabbos. I cannot take that potato gulo and be what's called shora b'chamin. I can't soak it in hot water, but I'm allowed to be what's called, I can do hadacha b'chamin. What's hadacha? Hadacha means to sprinkle, to kind of just like pour a little bit of hot water. The problem is sinking in a tub of hot water. That's a problem. You can't do. But to just sprinkle some hot water on it, that would be okay to do on Shabbos. Except, it's another qualification, except when is hadach also usher? Hadach mechamin, if you have food that's very, very salty, right? The Gemara gives an example. The Mishnah, the other Shabbos, very good. The fish, what's the fish called? You know the term in the Mishnah? It's called, there's a fish, but the Mishnah, the Shabbos called Kulyas Ha'ispani. I don't really know what the fish is, but it's a fish that's exceptionally salty, right? Call it herring. Call it herring. I don't know. Right? Call whatever you want to call it. So that fish, the Mishnah says, and again, we're going to talk about this more hopefully probably later this week, about things that are exceptionally salty. So then, even if it's a Dabar Yavish, you're not even allowed to do Hadacha. You can't even sprinkle hot water there because those things cook very, very quickly. And as we'll see, by the way, now part of the questions of the Chumras that we're going to talk about later regarding a Klisheni, right? Because we don't make it at the end of the Gemara says Klisheni, right? Anything that's under the klisheni doesn't cook. So why are we so incredibly machmir regarding a klisheni? Because guys, they're just flies. Okay, why are we so incredibly machmir regarding a klisheni if the Gemara says that a klisheni doesn't cook? Because, well, okay, that too. But the Gemara says that a klisheni cooks salty foods. The Gemara says these kinds of things, this fish and these certain kinds of foods cook in a klisheni, guys. So, and the Gemara says, and the Yireya points out, that we're not sure, Bazman Hazeh, what falls into that category, and therefore, as a Chumrah, we have to assume that everything cooks in a Klisheni. Kaliyah Bishra, excellent. So we're going to get more to that later on. We're not talking about that right now, but just to keep that point in mind. Okay, also, okay, fine. So those are the main points in the Shulchan Aruch. Just that's basic background of some of this Ahalakos of Bishra. Now, if you take a look at the Shulchan Gechavit Has, right, Bavaji Yosef, again, makes a lot of important nekudos over here. So number one, he raises the question, are you allowed to pour boiling hot water from an urn that's on the fire, right? It's called Al-Gabe Ha'ish, on the fire. Can I pour that onto coffee beans, onto instant coffee powder, things like of that nature? Meaning again, the water in the urn is on the fire, and I want to take that hot water and pour it onto the coffee beans, I want to pour it onto the coffee powder, is that mutter? Okay? That's the question that Rav Avazhi raises, okay? Now let's analyze, okay? So says Rav Avadja, he says the following. If I had something that went into hot water on Erev Shabbos, okay? Erev Shabbos, it went into hot water. So the halacha is, as we mentioned before, you can be sure of the comment.
30 seconds, sorry.
You can be, okay, let's try this land. There's sweat all over that notebook, it's crazy, it's gross. Okay, so the halacha is, guys, the halacha is, let's try this, the halacha is that you can be shor of a chamin on Shabbos itself. We put this out before, right? Get it in my notebook. So, if the halacha is that anything which is in hot water before Shabbos, on Shabbos, you can put it in hot water again. Tosfos writes, you can even soak it, in a kli rishon that's not on the fire, right? In other words, so what's the distinction, by the way? We know that a clean rishon b'derech klal does cook, right? That's what we assume the halach. A clean rishon cooks. What's the difference between a clean rishon whether it's on the fire? Guys, they're just flies. What's the difference between a clean rishon that's on the fire or not on the fire? So Tosi says that I'm allowed to cook this on. It was cooked before Shabbos. I can cook it in a clean rishon on Shabbos if it's not on the fire, even if it's still boiling. Why? Why am I allowed to cook something that was cooked before Shabbos in a clean rishon shalom al gabi ha'ish, even if it's still boiling hot? Well, let's assume that it will cook. Let's say it will cook. It'll cook it completely. Why is it
cooked?
The food was cooked already before Shabbos. What? What? Right? Exactly. The toaster says it's going to be cooked.
Even on the fire.
Well, no, so one second.
No, I'm sure it's a black.
Correct. So toaster says if I have food that was fully cooked before Shabbos, it cooled down, I want to now cook it in a clearishal shalom al gabi ha'ich, that's totally mother. There's no issue whatsoever. That's totally fine. That's okay. Toaster says. Right, correct. But there's a big exception or a big, you know, putting the brakes on to this rule. And this is a comment, not the Yireya that I quoted you before, but a different comment of the Yireya. Anyone know who the Yireya was?
Yeah.
The Yireya. Say for Yireya. The Yireya was one of the Balei HaTosos. His name was Rabbi Elazar Mimitz. Right? Sometimes when if you see in the Tosos, oftentimes will quote the Yireya. So you can quote them a lot. So the Yireya has the following chumrah. He says, yes, it's true that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. You're right. Once something is cooked, you can't cook it again. So cooking it on Shabbos doesn't do anything. It's mutter. But if I do a different action that's not technically cooking, then it's usher. So for example, what? Baking. roasted, right? So, for example, the Rambam holds that yes, it's true in bishul achar bishul, but yesh bishul achar fi or achar tzliya, right? There is cooking after baking. Well, there's machlokes by frying. It's a different issue. By frying, there's machlokes by actually toasting the Sanhedrin by frying. It's a different issue. Okay, we'll talk about that maybe a different time. But the Rambam says there is bishul after roasting or after baking. What is that translated to the halacha? Tell me something that you guys probably all do on Friday night, but according to the Rambam, should be in the Isser of Doraisa. If you dip your challah into soup, right, if assuming that your soup is yatzo lettuce, though, right, which it probably is, the soup, right, so if you dip your challah, that was fully baked before Shabbos, but it's baked, it's afia, so according to the Rambam, it doesn't help you, because it's not bishul, right?
Like even worse, bread is right.
Because of the ladle, you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So first you have to define if the bowl of soup even cooks in the first place. Because the bowl of soup doesn't cook if we consider the ladle to be a kli itself and the bowl is a kli shishi.
It's a double
fumble,
so we say we don't do that.
Right. Correct. Meaning, if you held up the chazon ish, there's also things like kli shishi, and you held up the urayim, which are two very, very big chumras, then in a chanabi, maybe it's usher. Most people, I think, are pretty meekle about this, as, you know, both guys say whenever they don't have bread and paint.
The Iran, the Mishnah Brura itself holds that there is, like, Othiyah after.
That may be true, but again, if there's no bishul, then it doesn't matter. If I assume my soup bowl is a kli shlishi, it's not for the
kli shlishi. Correct.
Exactly. I
mean,
the
only reason you have a problem with kli shlishi, you didn't even have a problem with kli shlishi.
But if
you
put it into a
bowl first, it's
something kli shlishi, something kli shlishi.
Here it's definitely no problem.
Another bowl.
Well,
that's debatable. But if you keep the ladle in the soup, which a lot of people do,
that's a separate point. That's a good point. That question, whether there's a thing called clean beef, clean chanishi, whatever, is the same as there's a motion of the chazanish. According to the chazanish, there's nothing exists beyond clean. The Gemara never mentions the term clean shishi anyway. It only mentions the initial clean shishi, right? Beyond that, nothing is mentioned. According to the Moshe, he says, yeah, there was a clean shishi, maybe there's even a possibility of having a clarity as well. Okay, so that's the next point. It's important to keep in mind for the Urayim.
Anything else on a clean shishi?
According to the Chazon Ish, there's no such thing as a Kli Shlishi.
According to Rav Moshe, fine.
According to Rav Moshe, it's going to be fine.
What is even Asur in a Kli Shlishi that I don't even need a Kli Shlishi?
No, nothing will be Asur in a Kli Shlishi.
And what about a Kli Shlishi? Well, I don't even care about it. No, I'm saying.
I don't know when we're going to get to Rav Moshe. We're going to hold off on Rav Moshe.
Anything at all?
I don't. As far as I know, meaning even Kali Abishol. The assumption is that we just look at a Kli Shlishi, right? The Kli Shlishi should be okay if you assume that those things exist, right? Okay, so let's hold up on a motion for now. We'll get back to maybe a good couple of things, okay? So that is what Rav Avadji writes regarding that. That's the Shlishi of the Urayim, meaning that there is Sliya and there is Afia after Bishul. That is the Shita of the Urayim. Now, okay, by the way, one last fascinating part, okay? There is a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim says that if I want to use what's called a rakik means a wafer, okay? In this context, it means like a wafer thin matzah, okay? I want to use a rakik to be yotzei matzah. What do I do? I'm going to get out the gebrachs issue, which we'll get to later on this year, hopefully. Right? The gebrachs question. I take my thin matzah, my wafer-like matzah, and I dip it into hot water. So what does the Gemara in Pesachim say? Can I be yotzei matzah like that?
No.
Why not?
Why would the Gemara have said that case?
It's cooking, right? That's what it sounds like, right? The Gemara sounds like, I'm not guilty of matzah, because what's the definition of matzah? What does matzah mean for me?
Anybody?
Okay, fine. It's true. Okay.
I knew that one, actually.
What?
I knew that one.
Okay, good. So, meaning, when I have soggy cooked matzah, that's not called matzah anymore. That's what the Pashas of the Gemara in Pesachim is, right? That's what it sounds like. Not all the Rishonim accept that correct meaning. Every except the din. The din is before, so I'm not yotzei. But there may be a different reason why I'm not yotzei. There's another reason. There may be a different reason why if I have a wafer thin matzah that's soggy and in the soup or whatever. What? Forgetting about that. Somebody treats it with the matzah itself. It's not a din official per se. It's more of a din in matzah. Yeah, say. Not chametz. You were very close. I just say there's like one where you'd say. Okay, you're so close. You're literally almost saying it. There's a din that when it comes to eating matzah, you need to have what's called ta'am matzah. And how do we know this din, by the way? So if everyone Arvi Pesachim before, which I assume you all have at some point, right? Arvi Pesachim, what is the first thing Arvi Pesachim, yeah? What? No, that's that it doesn't Arvi Pesachim, that's not what we're talking about. So that's a different one. Gemara later on, I think the book has an Arvi Pesachim says that bala matzah yatza, bala maror lo yatza. What does that mean? If I swallow matzah whole,
I
swallow matzah whole, I'm yotze. I swallow maror whole, I'm not yotze. What's the difference? So the Gemara says that when I swallow the matzah, right, so then peanut, the matzah, the halit, I got the taste of the matzah in my mouth. When I swallow maror, you want to experience the bitterness, the sharpness of the maror, and you swallow it one shot, you don't have it. Right? There's a din, which is even the Gemara, you need to taste the matzah. If my matzah is soggy, I'm not tasting matzah anymore, right? I'm tasting a wafer, I'm tasting a soggy wafer, right? I need to be able to taste the matzah. So it could be said for the matzah, this is what we're showing for down, that the reason why you're not yote with a wafer dipped in soup is not because of visual considerations. That's even new visual. It's a thin, crappy in matzah, because this is not for matzah. If that's the case, if we said it's true, that means what the murder is not a riot, is it? Right? So it's a localized thing by helpful matzah, right? So hopefully on Wednesday, we're going to pick up with this and hopefully get into more detail. Thanks, guys.